Welcome to From the Vault. This podcast series features previously never before heard interviews with comic creators and finally giving them the spotlight they deserve. So get ready for Pop Cult HQ's conversations with talented people in the industry and the oh-so-sweet projects they're putting out. This is From the Vault. For episode 2 of From the Vault, to kick off a new, upcoming feature, we spoke with Craig Rasmussen about the Monkey Gong Comics Club, comic book subscription service that connects you to a universe of original science fiction and story. Enjoy!
It's the comic subscription of the future here today on the premiere episode of What You Doing in Comics? Jason Bennett from Pop Code HQ. Today, I have a really special guest and a really fun concept that we definitely want you to check out and have on your radar. Really odd, psychedelic, sci-fi edge. No, I'm not reading my social media profile tagline. And I'm joined by indie creator Craig Rasmussen, who's just launched Monkey Gong, a comic book subscription service that connects you to a universe of original science fiction and story. There's a lot to really dive into, so let's get right with it. Welcome, Craig. Nice to sit with you.
Hi, Jason. Thank you so much for having me.
Definitely. Man, I did my pre-interview deep dive and research online and everything. You've really, first, the first bold statement that hit me was the comic subscription of the future here today. Bold statement in bold letters, appropriately. And so let's discuss the Monkey Gong Comics Club. You've taken like a years old model with subscription service, kind of modernized it, redefined what it could be. Can you kind of walk us through how the Comic Club subscription kind of changes the game on that old model of what a subscription service is typically known as?
Sure. To be honest, I don't even know how much I've changed the model. I feel like I've just incorporated things from all these different models. I've taken a little bit of from column A of crowdfunding. I love the rewards element and I love the add-on rewards. So there are different tiers. But the general subscription model I think that I'm using is probably mostly based on like a fan club, like a sci-fi fan club, like a classic Decoder Ring, decode this magazine using this ring that you got in a serial.
That was something that hit me. I've grown up in the 80s. There was a lot of that, the mail and things from comic books and that kind of action. But you're going even further with that.
Yeah. Well, we probably grew up with the same influences. Grew up both with the stuff that was current then, but also like our parents were from an older generation. So all the stuff that they brought to us had even older versions of this. Like some of the 1950s and 60s fan clubs were bananas. Like they went crazy for fans. Like they would have full costumes and spacesuits and all kinds of nuts stuff like that. So
wild.
Not that I'm going to go that far, but I will say just before we get into the weeds of the details, I will say that I have found a place that makes Decoder Rings. So I am 100% going to make a Decoder Ring.
So custom
in the next. Yeah. Custom complete. And
nice.
So my challenge now is to figure out, I have to put an alien language or something in one of my books basically to have something to decode. So that's
okay.
2024. That'll be, that'll
even,
happen.
Or even
shape.
Like teaser things on social media on different days. Oh, yeah. Or, I mean, there's all kinds of, you
for
can
sure.
do a little scavenger hunt or something online.
Once it exists, you can bet I'm going to have a lot of fun with it. And even, I've only gotten a couple of subscribers just the last week or so, just because I've just launched this. But instantly, once I had someone behind the paywall and with dedicated email streams, I knew where I wanted my energy to go. Like last night, I shot a video at like 1 o'clock in the morning that I had a lot of fun. It was really stupid. I'm going to edit a blooper reel out of it and have a good video also. And it just made me realize I'm walking on the right path. Like I'm doing the right thing for me. So,
if you can get inspired enough that, the creativity is just flowing. So jump up, get it done. And you know, see if it works. And
the reason I started a subscription as a comic book creator is because I want all of my creative energy to go in one direction towards all of these stories. And it's not to say I'll never do work for other publishers and stuff, but this will buy me the time to do that, because it's buying me the time to make art in general, because I'm just hustling all over for freelance and events and stuff. And this is not, that's not sustainable, you know? So that was kind of my chief inspiration, but also just the creative impulse that I felt just last night, where I'm like, oh, all my creative energy really can go in one single direction. It was awesome. It's a great feeling. So
very nice. Anyway. You know, that's some of the great things, you know, just the learning experiences that can be found in all these things, like you mentioned with Kickstarter, and there's definitely influences there. I noticed in your service, there are a number of tiers, you know, the different like packages or whatever people can expect. And then you also mentioned the paywall, and that's actually something I wrote down about, because I noticed in the tiers there were, you know, members were given paywall access. And can you share a little bit about what's behind that paywall and what that means for someone subscribing?
Yeah. Well, so right now the paywall has less going on than the delivery side, because I really wanted this to launch as mostly a print, a subscription to print delivery service, right? I really like the practical side of this, the physical media side of this, but
right.
I don't want you to think that that means the paywall is going to be weak. What my plan is for the paywall is exclusive videos, exclusive podcasts, exclusive film recommendations, brand new chapters of comics before they're ready to be printed. You know, before I have the whole book together and I just have a chapter, bang, it's going to go up behind the paywall. It will also go out to the inbox of any of the digital and higher members, you know, all members, basically. I don't know why I had to say it that way. You know, I'm going to find ways, like a lot of the stuff that I would put on social media that would get scrolled past and disappear in 24 hours, like weird little projects and polls and, you know, whatever, the things that you can do with social media that nobody ever sees are some of the things I'm going to do in addition to releasing exclusive artwork and comics projects. Okay. So I don't know. I mean, I will offer film recommendations. I'm going to do deep dives on Mobius because he's one of my favorite artists, or deep dives on Richard Corbin because he's one of my favorite artists. And that's just going to be behind the paywall. So when people go back there, they're going to get a glimpse inside of my mind, basically.
Very exclusive. It's a lot of exclusive content that is just isn't open to everyone.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, a lot of it is really, I mean, honestly, I won't lie, it's some of the same stuff that anybody would post on social media, but I think social media is a waste of time. And I also just think there's so many people who never get to see that stuff when it goes up. And then they have to like scroll through your profile to find something cool that you did once upon a time.
Well, and especially when outlets have certain algorithms for how things are shown. Oh, I mean, I'll see the same article, you know, for 3 days in a row on Facebook, and I'm like, you know, it says it's a 6 day old art, you know, why do you keep showing me this? But
I think, why can't the algorithm track? Why can't the algorithm track that your eyes saw it already and you don't need to see it again? It's dumb. Anyway,
figure out a way to beat the system.
It's just not, I really want to go against the grain of all that disposable, like short content, you know, throwaway content and giving stuff away for free. I really don't like seeing people give their comics away for free. It makes me crazy to see that, because a drawing is one thing. You can crank out a drawing in a few hours. And if you want to give up a few hours to people for free, that's fine. But a comic takes sometimes months to put together. Sure. And if you're just giving that away for free, yes, it might equal sales. But I've talked to a lot of artists about how much does your social media presence translate to sales. And so few people say, oh, lots of it. You know, and the people who do say lots of it, they usually have a very robust email list, and they have like an experience for their audience to have outside of social media as it is. So social media to me, it's a billboard at best, you know, and so I'm trying to use any of the ideas to be creative that I would have used for exclusive content behind the scenes, just to add to the comics that I'm already doing, because I've got a ton of comic book content that's on the way.
Yeah. And I saw that, like you're saying, with part of these exclusives behind the paywall, that you'll have some of your process shots, you know, the sketches and, you know, ink jobs or whatever that were done. Saw in one of the videos on one of the sites, which I know for me as a fan, it's always fascinating to see that component of it. It's usually you get a comic, it's already done, but to see the work that goes involved, especially doing line work and stuff like that, it's got to be a real appeal for a large number of people.
I think so. I mean, I did a lot of lives when I did a Zoop campaign earlier in the year, and the just being on and inking on camera without my face, without really worrying about what I was talking about, that is the most effective social media has ever been for me. And I don't, unfortunately, really like working like that. I feel like it distracts me enough that my inking is just not quite precise enough. So then I have to go back and like make little dumb corrections that I wouldn't have had to make if I hadn't inked that on camera for an audience, you know? So I do it less, but at the same time, I know there's a huge audience for that. I know people love that. I mean, like Kim Jung Ji before he died, I don't know how familiar you are with him and all of his videos, but that guy made tons of videos of his process. He had tons of cool setups where he'd have a setup on his face so you could kind of see what his hand was doing, but then he'd have a camera set up over his shoulder also so you could see the drawing just growing out of his
Okay,
face and his
right.
presence. And that was also his convention setup. So they have a big screen behind him at Comic-Con. And then, you know, you'd stand there and watch it, but you'd also watch the screen and kind of watch his perspective of the drawing. So that kind of stuff, I like that. The way he used it was more of a personal experience, you know? And whenever those videos ended up online, they were edited as like a, you know, a nugget of content, not this is our only form of content, right? So anyway, I feel like we're getting in the weeds on that. I'm sorry
No,
about
anyway, no,
that.
I totally get it. I mean, everything you're saying I can relate to and can envision. With your service and the different tiers, I want people to know there's a very large, nice sized library already that you have in place with titles like Technopolis, Virtus Reaches, and Sojourners. As well as some upcoming ones with Teaser and the Adventures of Dr. Cotton Hickok. How does that play into the subscription service itself as far as access? Because this is kind of a physical slash digital hybrid in a way, isn't it? Is that fair to say?
So the way that it's basically going to work is I see it right now, and this could easily change, especially because, you know, new subscribers may want the newest book when they first subscribe. But right now, the way I see it is this is a package program where it's like Teaser's the first book, Cotton Hickok's the second book, a new cover version of Sojourners is the next book, a new cover or new, well, expanded edition of Technopolis is the next book, a new, like a professionally printed, not home printed version of Epoch, which I've been printing at home until now, is the next, you know what I mean? So like each month, there's just something scheduled. And I've
Okay.
got 12 months scheduled right now where I don't have to draw anything new. Okay. So in that time, I'm going to be drawing all kinds of new stuff. And the way that the paywall versus the delivery works, and forgive me because I'm still developing this, you know,
Sure, sure, sure.
the way I see it though, every comic is going to end up behind the paywall. And right now, most of the stories that are complete are already behind the paywall. Like you can already read the comic with the exception of a couple files that I just need to go through, change the resolution and stuff so that they don't crash my website. It's things like that, you know, like again, the paywall is still being developed. This is brand new. But my point is that I'm not going to post any comics behind the paywall that are fully complete, like they're already printed. I won't be posting those unless they've already gone out, right? So Teaser is done, going to the printer in the next day, maybe. I have like one word balloon to correct. I can't get the lettering where I want it. But it's when that goes to the printer, I'll get it back in the next 7 or 8 days. I'll ship that out to the members that I have. Then I'll post it once I know they've received it, because I don't want the story experience to be spoiled if I can avoid it. You know what I mean? I know that's going to get really dicey. That's why, I mean, forgive me because this is still developing. I really don't know. I'm never going to be able to fully resist spoilers, right? There's always going to be a situation where you could either read it on the site or read it physically, but I don't know how much people care about that. I think
Sure.
if they like it, they want it both versions. You know, that's how I feel about stuff.
I think so.
So.
You look at a lot of the comics that like Boom Studios has with Power Rangers and some of these properties that Sonic the Hedgehog. I mean, that's IDW, but they have such a large fan base. They talk about it on social media. They don't give the spoilers away. They appreciate that. It's usually the people on the outside who just feel like kind of stirring stuff up to, want to really make a fuss. So I can't see, I don't know if that'd be too much of a concern. I mean,
I
there's
don't.
obviously it's not improbable.
No. Well, and you know, dude, like that's the other luxury of having a paywall and a subscription, is that I just don't think that there's going to be people who are going to want to troll me. There are people who are going to be paying for the service.
Yeah,
so it's not in their best interest to troll the situation in any way, shape, or form, right? So I kind of feel like what will, in a year, I'll be able to answer these questions really succinctly, because what will happen is between now and then, I'll be dealing with all these members and figuring out what works best for them, you know? And that's really the key to any subscription. It's not about me and my ideas. My ideas are just the jumping off point. It's really all about the people who subscribe and then figuring out how to personalize the experience and making it a deeper experience at every level, you know? So I have no idea where I'm going to be in 6 months with this.
Hey, you know what? But that's part of it. You know, some things you don't think of, and they hit you. You know, just come up out of nowhere. It's something you hadn't even considered. But, you know, and you obviously, you know, have a goal in mind and want to make this, you know, as strong as it can be. And let people know. I saw this, like, I think in your FAQs, you can also subscribe for someone else as a gift. Mm-hmm. If you got a comic lover in your life, someone who's a big crowdfunding junkie that likes to get the different packages and different little bonus things and exclusive items, you know, this would make a great gift as well.
Yep. Well, and obviously, you know, it was launching right before the holidays. So that was, I just was like, oh, I better answer this question because somebody's going to have it right away. And I'm not going to know how to answer it if I don't think about it. You know, and admittedly, I am okay. So I always want to say it's 10 years ago that Kickstarter started, but I think it was even longer. I think it was 15 years ago. I just remember where I was sitting in my apartment in San Francisco when I read the article about, I think it was Wired, actually. I read on Wired.com an article about this new concept of crowdfunding and this website, Kickstarter. It sounds really cool. We think it's going to be big. And then you look at where it is now, and it's absolutely gargantuan. It's massive and totally taken over comics. It's become one version of comics, which now have many versions, you know, and I'm really inspired by that.
Well, and the pandemic really played a role in that. It's growth too, just with, you know, while the publishers were doing the pencils down and comic shops were closed and, you know, distributors shut their doors. It's like, you know, the ones who were up on it, or, you know, that, you know, it's almost like a self-survival that they know they, for me to keep moving and doing this, we don't have, Comic Cons weren't going for a while, you know, so it definitely helped give another avenue. And I know the fans, crowdfunding, whether it's, you know, Kickstarter or Zoop or whatever, that they like that personal connection with the creators, or, you know, or they feel like they're a little more involved with it than just, you know, that the average comics fan or someone unfamiliar with it. And I think they get that in these personalized monthly, you know, and exclusive items that you kind of bring that great aspect out of crowdfunding and, you know, instill it in your subscription service.
Yeah. And, you know, honestly, some of it is laziness too, because like running a crowdfunding campaign for every project I do, which is, it sounds like a nightmare to me to have to do that, you know? So it's a cool experience, and I'll still do it whenever I have like a big book that's bigger than something I would want to ship for, you know, a $20 monthly membership or whatever, because the literal printing cost is $20+. Like those kinds of projects, probably once or twice a year, I'll do some kind of a crowdfunding campaign outside of the website. Also, because like until this thing is really rolling, I'm going to probably need to bring attention into it from the outside, you know. But, and you know, anybody who's listening, forgive me for repeating myself, but since we're talking about crowdfunding, I'll just say that, you know, it takes a lot of work to get new people to back your crowdfunding campaigns. And that was one of my chief inspirations for just doing it on my own website anyway. Because if I'm going to have to go through the trouble of dragging all these people toward whatever it is that I'm promoting, like I might as well drag them to my website, because when I did my crowdfunding campaign early in the year, it didn't send anybody back to my website, which, you know, I mean, I knew that it wasn't focused on that, but I kind of hoped that my label would get more attention, not just the crowdfunding books specifically, because that they're not, until they exist, they're not really part of the label, you know?
Sure, sure. And, you know, you probably save on a lot of fees too.
I don't like giving away a portion of any of my money if I can.
You know, I understand sometimes it needs to be done, but, sure. You know, you mentioned about, you know, shipping and stuff like that. How soon do you anticipate this service becoming available internationally? I know that's not something that's currently available.
Well, the USPS just changed their international shipping rates by double what they were last year. So I just had a conversation with somebody about this like 2 days ago, and both of us don't know what to do, because if you have a book that's $20, you don't want to charge somebody $30 to ship a $20 book. You know, it makes no sense. So
exactly.
I don't know. I don't know about international right now.
Okay. Okay.
There might be, let me just say this. My idea for international might be more like a quarterly package, because then if you can consolidate the shipping to, you know, four times a year or even twice
right.
a year.
The more you send, even though the rate's going to go up, it's going to be a better value.
Yeah.
You know, cost per ounce, cost per pound or whatever.
Exactly. I just think monthly, I don't know. I mean, that's one of those things, like when you find out the way that like comic book companies do it, a lot of stuff is done in printing hubs or warehouse hubs, you know? So like Marvel doesn't have to store all their books in America to deliver books to, you know, Eastern Europe. They're stored in Eastern Europe so that they can just show up there, you know? So the shipping cost is totally different, because the metric is they put it on a ship and they send some of them to America and they send some of them to Europe, you know? And so it's way easier for them to contact those people with a regular basis, you know? So I obviously don't have the resources right now, but I would love to have them.
Soon, fingers crossed. Hey, one last thing before we cut out of here. You're going to be at LA Comic Con this December, aren't you? The first through the third. Are you tabling? I saw you're with someone.
My friend Mike Dubish from Forbidden Futures and I split a table. It's becoming kind of our annual thing. We split a small press corner booth, so it's a huge booth, and we each have a side. You know, so it's separated, and it makes sense visually. It doesn't seem like, oh, just two dudes sharing a table.
Right. So like kind of like on an end cap, kind of a.
Yeah. We paid for a corner, so we always are in a double traffic zone. I'm not sure exactly, you know, they haven't put the map out yet, and it's only in 2 weeks. So that show, they run really close to the deadline of the show with their information every year. It's kind of wild. But I'm going to be there. I'm excited, because last year was the first year that we did this, and I had just gotten over COVID. So I was like 15 pounds underweight and super tired and cranky and didn't have any energy to do a convention, but I did it anyway. And this year I've got energy. So I'm really excited to do this show. And obviously I've got a lot of stuff happening right now. So, you know, teaser, and probably the black and white edition of Cotton Hickox will debut at Comic-Con.
Come get physical copies. Get them signed, and I'm sure subscribe right there on the showroom floor.
Yeah. And just to real quick, you know, if you do buy a book from me or have bought a book from me, if you have bought a book from me, all of the older versions of the books, the early editions, the 2022 editions, I'm refacing everything. I'm going with a new printer soon. So refacing everything, anything over 50 pages will be perfect bound now. Like I basically need one printer to package everything uniformly. So, if you have purchased a book from me in the past, though, and you don't want to double up and you do subscribe, the second email that I send my subscribers is a survey of what you have. And if you have stuff and then you click, I do not want doubles, we'll figure it out. We'll figure it out together. Me and you together. We'll figure out how to make the subscription work for you, because I don't want people to double if they don't have to. But like I said, I am revamping everything on purpose. So even though some of my books, I think, are pretty polished for what they are, especially the seat of my pants situation of last year's printing, you know, had pretty good results. But I think like using a uniform publisher and just refacing everything so that the brand feels really, really itself, you know, like when you just look at the whole thing, it'll all fit together. I think it'll be worth doubling up if you're willing. And if you're not, we've got the survey and we can figure out how to not double you up.
Craig, hey, thanks for talking to us about Monkey Kong. And everyone get out, check out Monkey Kong Comics Club. And we'll get you all the details in the article and the video and everything. And subscribe, man. No better time than now.
So
Craig Rasmussen, thanks for taking the time to talk with us, man.
Thank you very much.
Special thanks to Craig for talking comics with us. Be sure to visit monkeygong.com to learn more and subscribe. Thanks for listening to Pod Cult HQ from the Vault.